It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and we are graced once again with Laura Marling here at our studios. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
It has been 6 or 7 months, maybe longer, since you first came in at the very, upon the release of A Creature I Don't Know. At the time, you talked about gaining a lot of confidence. In between I Speak Before I Can and the making of the latest record, you talked about gaining a lot of confidence in your abilities, your songwriting. And you also talked about how you'd noticed that the tonality of your voice had been developing and your own mastery of that voice had improved. In these last 7 or 8 months, as you've toured pretty extensively, what else have you discovered, sensed, or found out about things? What new perspective have you gained throughout what has been a pretty long and aggressive tour?
I think, like with everything else to do with the what I've realized about my my credentials as a songwriter or as a musician, it's more about what my limitations are rather than what my abilities are. I think I've learned to be comfortable with what I am capable of.
Now, that's almost ironic in that, and I don't say this to patronize you, but the scope and ambition of your songwriting is so lofty that on one hand for you to say, and I'm sure there's humility in making a statement like that, yet you aspire to write pretty epic songs. So that seems to almost run contrary to your ambitions seem to, run contrary to your own sense of self. Does that make sense to you?
I suppose so. I think everybody who does something like this, an objective career or, an objective output, wishes they were something else slightly. And I think the songs that I write are the only things that I can write because they're very, I don't do much editing. They're very stream of consciousness, and my guitar style is just an amalgamation of all the guitar styles I've ever heard. And I think somewhere in my brain, I wish I could write a very, one of those great, very simple, to the point, bang on songs, which is just not in my nature. I can't break things down simply.
I choose to stay far away from the ones who think money is money to share. Don't ask me why, and I'll tell you no less. Sonny don't come here no more. He don't drink from this well. He's done with the world and done with the girl. And I don't ask him why, and he tells me no. Those of us who are lost and low, I know how you feel. I know it's not right, but it's real. I don't ask for love and I don't beg for money. I'm just asking for grace and forgiveness. Now, honey, don't ask me why. I'll tell you no lies. I've been looking for answers in unsavory places, on the highest of mountains, on the lowest of bases, and I still don't know why. Still don't know why. Those of us who are lost and alone, I know how you feel. it's not right, but it's real. But it's real. Well, I took the wind from the sea. I took the blood from an arrow. I took the wisdom of spring. And I was thrown and blown and tossed and turned until time found its hand and called it an end. Me and time, we go way back when I was a child and I always knew why. I knew my name, yes, I knew my road. And I stayed away from heavy loads. And still I'm low. Oh, Lord, am I low? Well, those of us who are lost and low, I know how you feel. I know it's not right, but it's a
How do you get to the initial sense that this might actually be headed towards a song? Is it early on, or is it because you keep coming back to a thing and knowing, all right, that's my process. I feel this one's starting to, you know, raise its hand.
Yeah, now I do. That's part of sort of understanding my capabilities. Now I sort of know where my train of thought will lead, or if my train of thought will lead somewhere. But because I play guitar, and it's so much a part of my life and a necessary part of my sort of psychological balance now, that, you know, I play guitar every day. And so if I'm thinking about something and it's just the right time, the stars are aligned, as it were, then that will be the day that that song is written.
Would it make you feel good to know that I was particularly noticing your guitar playing and how it had elevated even in the short time since we'd seen you last?
Yeah, that's nice.
That I was very, you know, because I guess the first time we sat in this very room with Nick Harcourt here, you know, I was struck by your voice. And this time I was already prepared, because I must confess, the first time when you sang and performed in this kind of intimate setting, I was awestruck. I was really surprised. This time I anticipated, and then the guitar playing was like, wait a minute, she's really playing beautifully too. So all that playing you're doing, it's showing, it's coming out in the process. I'm going to read a quote, which I don't know how you respond to a quote like that. I don't know how anyone responds to a quote like this, but you've already shown that you have a grounded sense of self. When the London Times wrote, "Who else is making music as ambitious, as haunting, as century-straddling, as thought-provoking and artistically tenacious as this?" And the answer is nobody. And the author had to add on, no, really, not a soul. In talking about you, were you 20? When that was written?
I don't know.
I think it was somewhere around that time. How does one, do you respond to those things? Do they have an impact on you, or do you catalog them somewhere away from what you're doing as a performer?
Well, I try with some success to stay away from any publications. Because someone very wise told me at the beginning, if you believe the good ones, you'll have to believe the bad ones. So I managed to keep my head down. My mother, on the other hand, keeps a fairly rigorous catalogue, which I ask her not to tell me about.
But do you trust her to let you know at least so far it's thumbs up.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. You know, I get the occasional update from my very supportive parents. So yeah, I mean, something like that is just impossible to take on, isn't it?
Well, but again, not to you know, pander to you. I search for, and I'm clearly not as articulate as this writer was, I search for terms in describing your music to others on the air and in person. I read this and I go, that's it. Yes, I couldn't have said it better myself. So I share the sentiment of this. It's very impressive, and I have to ask, I know you love to read, and I know that in the making of the last record, you spoke of certain authors that had some influence, and I believe even, I read somewhere once that was it the wife of John Steinbeck that had something to do, some influence on some of the songs. So clearly you must be a voracious reader.
I read as much as the next person, I think.
And are the authors of that type, do they sometimes serve as at least a launching pad for ideas?
Yes, certainly. Certainly. But I think the reason why reading is very important, or the type of literature that I like more specifically, which is a relatively specific kind, is the turn of phrase. And Steinbeck is the king of that, the personification of land and that kind of thing I find very interesting. And there's lots of writers who do that brilliantly, mostly American. And that's where I guess reading newspapers and articles and books and underlining things in books, and then I'll write them down somewhere, and then I'll write them down somewhere else, and eventually they're so far into my world and my consciousness that's when they'll end up coming out somewhere.
So that comment you just made about Steinbeck's perspective and scope, that jibes with the remark you made off microphone earlier about how you really did enjoy traveling America, and I said, well, it's a slog, and you said, I liked it, because I guess you are, in a sense, seeing the land and the scope and everything about it and gaining your own firsthand perspective, having had certain other guides, you know, from the past inform you.
Exactly. I do feel, especially in California, when I drive through California, I feel sort of like wonderfully naive and vulnerable and misled by the romanticism of the books that I've read about it, because it's, you know, the books from, you know, about 50.
Touching my skin, who have I been letting? Shy and tired-eyed am I today.
Bye.
Sometimes I sit, sometimes I stare. Sometimes they look and sometimes I don't care. Rarely I weep, sometimes I must. I'm wounded by dust. Time you better call for your woman up high, and when the bell tolls your last day, you'll be getting down on your knees to pray. I'm a good woman and I never did say ever it was that you did that day. Now I'm not a woman to go and place blame, but you said that it was coming on judgment day. Now so
Are you 22 yet?
Yeah.
You are 22.
Yeah.
The wise old age of 22. You've had a lot of experience. You've been performing professionally for 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And performing professionally on a pretty high level. That's a lot of experience for someone who is as young as you are. Has every experience been meaningful?
Some more than others. Well, it again depends. It would all depend on what my capacity was at that time to accept it. This tour has been very special because lots of things come together, like the time of year and the people that I'm traveling with, and the fact that it's my last tour for a while, and When it's right, it's right. When it's wrong, it's really wrong. So.
The fact that tonight is the last date. What's your thoughts about that? I mean, on one hand, I'm sure, rest, some freedom.
Mm.
But I'm sure there's some ambivalence in that as well. Have you found that, as many artists will say, there's a magic and a purpose when they go on stage that they don't achieve anywhere else in their life? Is that the case for you?
I don't know. I don't think it's the going on stage for me. I enjoy the process of touring a lot. But at the same time, I find so much of it quite challenging. Like, I really enjoy playing shows, but I wish that I could be sat down. I don't know how to describe it. I wish I didn't have to be stood up in a spotlight. I wish I could be sat down in a nice little room somewhere.
Like this.
Exactly.
This is easier for you to find yourself, and then when you're sitting out in front of X thousand of people, it probably takes on a different perspective, yes?
Yeah. And it's not that it's not enjoyable, it is. and the traveling and the meeting people in different places is wonderful. I call myself a home bird, but without a home, really. I don't really have. I live in London, obviously, but I don't really think of it as home anymore.
I tried. away did you run from everyone who only tried to love you, Rosie? Only tried. Little bird, if I only knew. Maybe I'd be more like you. With a feather in my wing. Is it spring? Do I sing? Why not run from everyone who only tries to love you, Rosie? Only tries.
We said this the last time you were here, and you know, we mean it, and it's so, we so much appreciate it. I honestly do say, and I don't try to say this with any false, you know, importance, but every time, you know, we've been blessed to have you come in here, I truly have this sense of it's a document. It's a document that we're fortunate that you come in and you perform these intimate sessions with us, and I know, I just know that 25, 30, 40 years from now, we're going to prize these moments. We're going to say, she was here, and we just, it was for us, for our listeners, and it's really appreciated. I want you to know that.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Well, tonight, obviously, I gush effusively, and we hope that you will come out and see Laura Marling as she plays the John Anson Ford Theater. As I told you off mic, again, another wonderful setting. I think you will feel that sense of intimacy in the surroundings of it. It's a nice small amphitheater cut into the mountainside that overlooks the Hollywood Bowl. I think you'll feel pretty good about the place, much like last night was a spectacular place to play. You played in the church, right?
Yeah.
And you've actually played in a couple of churches. I believe the last time in L.A., one of the shows was in the temple.
Yeah.
The Masonic Temple. So it seems that those seem to be rooms where you find your voice. Mm-hmm. But we really appreciate you doing this and can't wait. Not that we're in a big hurry, seeing that this is the last night of your tour and you are due a well-deserved break to find yourself, to do your laundry, whatever it is you might need to do. But now I'm piqued that Ethan and you are at work. How far along are you, and when would you anticipate that record seeing the light of day, or is there no timetable set?
Well, we're quite far along. It's all been written, and it's all, like, all the basics have been recorded. So now we're just having fun with it. Basically, I'm taking a lot of time now.
So now it's this one you want to just say, we have the time, let's make it, let's let it make itself, I guess, in a way, in the way you work.
Yeah.
You'll know when it's, well, maybe you won't. That's the one thing about artists who have aspirations. Sometimes they need an Ethan or whoever to say, this is it.
Exactly.
Let's leave the room. We're done.
Yeah.
Much like this interview is. It's Laura Marling. I can't thank you enough for coming by 88.5 KCSN.